Okay, so let's go ahead and call to order the workshop for January 20th, 2016, dealing with a proposed LDC amendment for bottle clubs. And I think we're good to go, right? Do we just turn it over to staff?
Thank you. Just a little background. May recall in one of your planning board meetings where you recommended to city council a moratorium for the proposed for bottle clubs. And just some history is we, which is part of your package tonight, the city received numerous correspondence. I've received phone calls, letters from the business community because there was, I guess, a potential for a bottle club that was going to open within one of our commercial zoning districts. So they were looking over where Hooligans is in that subdivision or commercial subdivision. They were looking actually where our old city office was located and looking in that area too. So when that came out, a lot of the businesses sent emails to city staff, sent it to our elected officials, wanting the city to do something about it because, you know, they were very concerned about, you know, their family businesses, and some of them even had told me that, you know, if this comes in here, we are going to close down our business and move elsewhere because of a lot of the activities that are associated with these bottle club uses. So, you know, we put on the moratorium, city council approved the moratorium, and then city staff went back and did a little bit of analysis of looking at some different options that we wanted to present to you tonight and get some direction from you. And with that, Bill will go ahead and take the presentation and go into some more detail about the different options.
Good evening, Commissioners. Bill Hoover from the Community Development Staff. Actually, what was attached to the agenda was about a dozen letters. Most of those were email related from Palm Coast business owners, residents, and even actually one came from outside Palm Coast because the lady said she shopped a lot here and she wouldn't shop here anymore if a bottle club would in. And additionally, the Flagler County Sheriff's Department contacted Volusia County, got some data from them on one bottle club in Volusia County that was in the newspapers quite a bit. That particular club had 453 calls for service over about 33 months, including 44 fights or disturbances and two related homicides. We have three neighboring communities that have basically said no to bottle clubs and put them on their non-permitted list, non-permitted uses, including Daytona Beach, Flagler Beach, and Ormond Beach. Hillsborough County has had quite a few issues in over the last 2 years with bottle clubs, actually three of them, and what they found is they tend to locate close to each other. One club had 130 calls for service in 13 months, including 12 batteries and four shootings and three brawls. The other two bottle clubs were jointly raided by the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department in the Florida Division of Alcoholic Beverages, ended up with 11 arrests, including six that were drug-related, and managers of both clubs were arrested. The Planning Board and City Council took the necessary steps to enact the temporary moratorium on December 15th, and that will expire on April 13th. There was about two purposes for the moratorium. One, it would allow city staff time to research, review, and then process through the public hearing process whatever bottle club regulations that the planning board wanted to recommend to the city council. Additionally, it would ensure that a bottle club was not permitted in the interim, and then the bottle club would be grandfathered into the new uses, to the new restrictions, I'm sorry. Basically, there's four strategies that we came up with. The first three are similar, and we could allow these in one of our intense zoning districts via review and approval of a special exception. This could be in the COM3 district, the IND1, or the IND2 district. Or we could do what the neighboring communities have done and basically add bottle clubs to uses not permitted in our land development code. For zoning strategies 1, 2, and 3, it would allow the bottle clubs to be individually reviewed and potentially approved as a special exception. And it could be in any of those three districts, or two of them, or all three. Additionally, if you decide to go that route, staff would suggest that we add specific extra development standards to Chapter 2. And I think some that you might think of that we've seen lately is maybe like convenience stores has additional standards in there. Internet Cafe has additional standards. And there's about 20 of them altogether. Staff thought it might be appropriate if, before we discuss like COM3, IND1, and IND2, what's around these uses? So we have about 7 slides or so that show what these, where these are located and what the surrounding uses are. And we sort of started at the north part of the county. So up there at Matanzas Woods Parkway and U.S. Highway 1 in the northeast quadrant, there's a large section of COM3 property, and you can see single-family residences and vacant lots to the northeast and the east. This next section of COM3 is located on Old Kings Road, and if Whiteview Parkway was extended across or underneath I-95 to the east, that would sort of come in between these two parcels. And if you look at the southerly long strip there, to the east of that is a newer subdivision, and their access would be coming in very close to the southern point of this COM3 parcel. And then looking at along State Route 100, east of the airport, there's probably about 8-10 parcels here. If you look at the southwest quadrant of I-95 and State Route 100, it is close to some single-family uses there. But in this slide, when I think of if we reflect back to what the business owners wanted, if one was allowed to go in one of these COM3, then we have concerns from a lot of neighboring businesses that would be going in the other COM3. Going up here to the northwest part of the city, you can see Hargrove Grade that we talked about earlier this evening, and you can see where Palm Coast Parkway comes in and intersects with US 1 a little bit to the southeast. So along Palm Coast Parkway, there are some COM3 parcels that are close to single-family and multifamily residences. We also have an industrial park in the southeast quadrant. I believe that one's called Commerce Boulevard Industrial Park. It's light industrial, but it's right up against single-family on both its east side and the south side. Further to the south on U.S. Highway 1, we got some additional COM3 properties, as well as one light industrial, and the COM3 is relatively close to single-family uses. Traveling over to where Old Kings Road intersects with Palm Coast Parkway, we have one COM3 parcel close to the Island Walk Shopping Center. Further to the south, we have a large chunk of light industrial on Utility Drive. And on the north side of that, we've got residences as well as the northeast and the south and the southeast sides. Going southeast of the airport along Seminole Woods, we have a rather large industrial park there. The heavy industrial is shown with the more purple color, and the lavender, light lavender color is the light industrial. You can see there that the entrances into the industrial park match up right across the street, which is good traffic planning. It matches up with the single-family subdivisions going out onto Seminole Woods Boulevard. Going further to the south, where Seminole Woods hits Citation Parkway, in the northeast corner there, we've got COM3 right up against single-family. And at the very south end of the city, we've got south of Belterre Boulevard, we've got, starting at the north side there, we've got a COM3 parcel right up against single family. And then as you go to the south, southeast, another large COM3 area, and then it goes over to light industrial. Those two bigger parcels, there's really not much development around them. So looking at the overall strategies there in COM3, Industrial 1 or Industrial 2 as a special exception, staff would suggest that if that's the way you want to go, then you could choose one, two, or three of those districts, and then we could add additional specific standards for bottle clubs.
Before we move on, Bill, I just want to say, you know, us looking and analyzing your different zoning districts, and, you know, Bill did that over the holidays and working with our GIS to isolate all the COM3 and industrial, and it's very difficult. And like Bill mentioned, that, you know, the COM3, with this type of use, we'll run in potentially to the same situations that all the letters that were in your packet for business owners for this use. And then you know, we said, well, let's look at our industrial section. And you heard the presentation earlier, too, that, you know, we're limited on industrial space, IND1 and IND2. And then when you start thinking about the use and the compatibility with the use of drinking and alcohol within an industrial zone where you have, you know, dangers, you know, certain uses that probably alcohol and that doesn't mix very well. So very difficult for us. And Bill, I just wanted to kind of summarize my planning thoughts for those options, and that's why we're asking for your direction. And Bill has, you know, the last option, which I know Ms. Reichman had called the state, and it is a viable option that we could utilize. So,
So the fourth option is actually the simplest by far. It would basically be to take Section 3.0106 and add this to the existing 9 uses that are not permitted in the city of Palm Coast. And right now, some of those uses include junkyards, salvage yards, incinerator plants, asphalt manufacturing plants, hog and poultry farms. And those, if you want to add or take one of those uses off the list for a particular project, it would take a supermajority vote by the city council, which would be at least 4 votes, and that would be after review and recommendation by the planning board. And if you dig into Section 3.0106, there's a sentence there that sort of summarizes why those uses are not permitted in the city. And I wanted to quote that on there and show it to you, because it's like, if we want to go that route, then we need to look at this and see, is this where this thing belongs, or are one of the other strategies more viable? So if for it to be not permitted, then it should fall into this category, which is this is due to their potential incompatibility with current development trends in the city, their potential deleterious effects upon the public health, safety, and welfare, and the potential likelihood that they will create nuisances and significant adverse impacts upon adjacent land uses. And I don't know if the people that sent some of these comments in actually looked at this or not, but when I read this and putting this together, it reminded me of some of these letters that I had read through probably each one a couple of times. So staff is here at your direction, and if you have any questions, we're happy to try to respond to you.
Okay, thank you.
On this particular last comment, section 30106, non-permitted use. Due to potential incompatibility with the current development trends of the city and potential deleterious effects upon health, safety, and welfare, these bottle clubs have demonstrated everywhere they have been that that statement qualifies them for a non-use category, in my opinion.
I would have great difficulty looking my neighbors in the eye if I put this in Com 2 or even Industrial 1.
Anywhere.
Yeah. So frankly, I think what the staff has been able to do is make us sick and then help us get well. Yeah, I agree with you, Ray. I think that Strategy 4 is the only choice.
Only choice. There's no place in this city for a place like Bottle Club.
Question for Ray, actually. Are you familiar with the cigar shop in the European Village?
Mm-hmm.
Don't they allow you to bring your own bottle into that establishment? While you're there, you can have your own cocktail.
I don't know. That has to be under a specific license. And during the moratorium period, we worked very closely with our city attorney, Katie and Bill. And we have, and that's one of the things that we will be looking at, is the state has a specific definition for bottle clubs that we are utilizing because it's tied with the state with these bottle clubs. And I don't think that would actually fit because anything within European Village, I mean, they have to have an alcohol license. And I haven't heard that you can bring your own, that it's a bottle club, so to speak. But one of the things, if we do bring this back to you, that we will be working with our attorneys to make sure that the definition is specifically to the use that we're talking about, the bottle clubs where, you know, these folks are bringing in the liquor and it falls within that criteria.
Yeah, I don't know specifically about that cigar shop, Chris, but I know that in times gone by, we've been at Mezzaluna's, for example, waiting for a table and gone to, remember that Cafe Europa that was open at one time there,
mm-hmm.
right next to Mezzaluna's, and bought a drink and brought it back and ended up taking it to the table in Mezzaluna's. But, you know, not wine, not beer, because
well, you
Mezzaluna's
specifically
sells
left.
It.
Left their premises and went to another premises.
Yeah.
My question is there is a business model for specifically cigar shops where you have your membership and you have your own cubby hole and you can put whatever liquor you prefer to that cubby hole, and while you are there as a member, you can enjoy your cocktail specifically. Don't get me wrong, I echo and hear what everyone was saying specifically to the information provided by the Sheriff's Department of Volusia County, but you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater as well. And jump into a snap judgment, I think you may just be doing that, where some alternative business models and establishments are abiding by the proper rules, they're not creating problems, and they will be negatively impacted by any forthcoming decisions made by this recommendation.
That's why I think it's important that that if we do, if it is the consensus of the planning board that we go forward to not permit bottle clubs in the city, that's where it's going to be important with the definition. You know, that we're specifically calling out these specific places. You know, if you have special events, you're bringing your own, you know, we're not talking about these. We all kind of know what we're talking about with the bottle clubs. We're not talking about a cigar shop at European Village. So we will work with Katie's office to make sure that we specifically call out these specific uses for the bottle clubs. But it's, you know, they've already started looking at specific definitions and licensing.
Going to be creative narrative
definitions. Because I can tell you, I mean, I don't know for a fact, but these places have different licenses, okay? And, you know, your alcohol license is governed by the state, and if you're going to have alcohol on your premises, it goes by a different license. For bottle clubs, I forget what they call it. It's not a specific license, but
it's a license, but it's not like an alcohol license a restaurant or a bar gets.
Right.
I don't know.
They're very,
they call it something different.
Yeah.
But it's a license.
But it's different.
It's different.
So could you?
Than that.
Is there a definition for a bottle club that you could? I mean, is there a clear statute or definition for a bottle club that you can quote
yes,
to me?
Yes, there's a definition of bottle club in the statutes, but it probably needs to be supplemented with some specific exclusions for civic associations. And it does state it's commercial for profit, whether or not a profit is made. But even so, the thought was that we would try to work in the exceptions, knowing that we're never going to make this mathematically precise. I mean, obviously, there's going to be a few businesses where, you know, some businesses might take advantage of it and try to form a club that isn't really a legitimate social club. It's more of a purely for-profit bottle club. I mean, there might be some gray areas there, but we do have some other models to look to, some other cities that have definitions that we can pull from and try to do the best we can.
Well, your point is
talking
taken.
About
I mean,
a corking fee. You're not talking about a corking fee that somebody, a restaurant might charge you. If I go to the restaurant, it only has a beer and wine license, which is my only reference in New York, that might have a beer and wine, restricted to a beer and wine license, and you can bring in your own wine, and they'll charge you a $5 or $10 corking fee.
No,
we're not talking about something like that.
That is a bottle.
$5 or $10.
No, you're allowed to bring your own bottle with a beer and wine license.
Yeah, that is a bottle club.
No,
the definition,
for beer
as far
and wine
as I know,
specifically, not for liquor. They can't open for liquor.
Yeah, as far as I know, definition that I got on bottle clubs says that you bring your own bottle and you leave it there. You come in and have drinks and you drink up your own bottle or any other bottle, person's bottle that will allow you to. They provide you with the
setups.
And that's the definition that I got as far as bottle clubs were concerned. And that's a totally different type of situation.
Right.
Because what that means to me is the guy comes in, he gets drunk on his own bottle, his own drinks. He's not drinking, he's not asking for or buying drinks, he's buying setups.
Again, I'm only drawing from my own experience, but I know that there are cabarets in New York City where a person might care to, I mean, I would never do it, but might care to order or have a $1,000 bottle of wine or spirits, Hennessy or cognac or something. That bottle is theirs, and when they come to have a drink, they drink from that bottle.
That's a bottle.
And that's not to say that they drink and get drunk. I'm not trying to label everybody with the same brush. But I'm just trying to make sure that I understand this really is. So this is not simply a hole in the wall after hours joint where somebody can drink all day, all night. I mean, I don't know. I mean, there are places that, you know, that are very expensive and that are very top shelf where I don't think anybody in this room, certainly not me, but unless I was a guest, could afford to go and have a cocktail. But there are places, I mean, there's a place for everybody. I just don't want to understand what we are really looking at. We're looking at some place where somebody's going to be able to bring in a $2 bottle of hooch, and 3 o'clock in the morning, they're slamming them back, and then they're out on the streets with my children and grandchildren driving. I don't know. So I don't know what the standards are. I just don't want to automatically say no. Although my expectation in moving to Palm Coast 10 years ago was not to have to deal with this, with trash. So I just don't want to make an assumption, and I want to really understand what it is we're talking about. That's why I'm asking.
If we give you a consensus that strategy 4 is the way we would like to proceed, you would, I assume, present to us a ordinance or resolution or something at the next meeting,
yep,
after you,
yes,
advertised, sir, it, that would in fact include a definition of Bottle Club.
Yes. Well, we have a definite.
The state statute plus some from local exclusions.
Correct.
Yeah. What Chris brought up, a good point for European Village, that's something we will have to look at the definition.
But at that point, I mean, yep, all of us conjecturing about what the definition is now would be better. The time would be better spent discussing that when we actually have a resolution with a definition in front of us.
Well, we have a definition already. And we brought it to this board about in May.
Last time,
or something.
Yeah.
But it's something, Bill, that we're going to have to look at.
Right. We can
Chris
modify
some good points.
We can modify that definition based on the concerns out there to, let's say, tighten it up. And we want to make sure that, let's say, moose clubs and those kind of organizations, we don't catch them in there.
Right. And to Chris's point, cigar shops that close at 10 o'clock at night, but accommodate their members in allowing them access to a bottle of their own while they store it for them is different. It might be different than a bottle club.
And we'll look at that use, because they may have a specific alcohol license for that use that's not even captured in what we're talking about. You know.
Hmm?
So all you're looking for is a consensus at this point.
Yeah, consensus. What will happen if you know, we just want your direction. Give us a consensus, and then we'll go back and do what we need to do and bring it back to your next meeting. I don't have a timetable, but, 120 days, if we...
April 13th.
I think if we bring it back to the next meeting, we've got a kind of a month. Then we bring it to, City Council, your recommendation to them.
And they've got to go twice, right?
They do.
Well, I think I'm going to, just caution you to make sure, as Sybil mentioned and as Chris did, that, we don't, that we define the definition in such a manner that it doesn't hurt legitimate businesses. And I think Chris brought up a good example of the cigar, the humidor, and any other type of businesses. Because what I got from the presentation 2 months ago was that you're really trying to go after businesses that open up, after hours, after other bars close at 2 a.m., they're able to stay open till, whenever, 5 a.m., 6 a.m. So that was the thrust that I heard in what you were trying to accomplish. Now, if I didn't hear that correctly, that's, I think, what Sybil was asking. What's the definition? What are you trying to go after?
Yeah.
So I'd like to hear someone tell us, what are you trying to go after, instead of the rest of the board members trying to tell us.
Yeah, and I want to tell you, we do have in our code 2 o'clock that you in drinking. But the issue, if you remember, I was hoping Mark was going to be here, but I'll definitely make sure that a representative, if we come next month, that he be here, because I don't like speaking for him. But what I recall is, when he was speaking about some of the issues at Volusia County, because a lot of these stats we got from Mark, calling folks in Volusia County, and the problem is it doesn't make a difference if the bar closes at 2, you've got groups from all these different counties that are coming in and drinking, filling up the parking lot. That's the kind of according to the sheriffs, that's a lot of the issue. So,
and I think the issue in a lot of the Volusia County instances were where they did not include bottle clubs within the hours of operation of bars. And, of course, Palm Coast, y'all saw that in 2015. You fixed that loophole. So we don't have that loophole. But I think that, you know, we kind of I already kind of put together a definition, just as I said, pulling from the state, pulling from other cities, trying to leave out those things that are good uses, like bona fide restaurants whose business is primarily service of full course meals. Of course, you know, you create these exceptions and then you create loopholes that some of maybe the ones we don't like may try to say they fit it, and then you've got the problem of proof. You know, are they in fact doing? But for that, with the bona fide restaurants, I think you're good because you can go by the license from the state. Then you've got, you know, the definition I'm looking at right now, social, fraternal, or civic association organizations, which only occasionally permit the on-premises consumption based on membership and so forth. And then, of course, sports, nationally recognized sports associations when they gather and so forth. Hotels and motels, obviously you're not trying to prevent people bringing in their wine bottles. So, you know, I think that the board has to recognize that once we bring these exceptions in, then we've kind of also created our own little problem. But I agree, we have to have exceptions. We have to make it a specific, you know, as we can.
Well, why not make the exceptions small as possible?
Right.
I agree. Every exception you make is a loophole.
Right.
Because if you make fraternities, private organizations, things of that as exceptions, and leave it at that, I mean, that leaves a lot of other things out.
Right.
It leaves out the possibility of a bottle club coming in. Because bottle clubs, I don't care what anybody tells me, I've lived in just about every place in this country. I've never been in a place where you can have free-flowing liquor at 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning, and the you don't have trouble. You're going to have trouble.
I don't understand how you define, Ray, free-flowing liquor. Are we still talking about the same bottle that the person owns and bought in? Or are we talking about an unlimited supply from a bartender?
No, you walk in with a bottle in your hand.
Right, so how is that unlimited? I mean, what? Are you coming in with a case of liquor? Are you coming in with a bottle that you store there because that's your private stock of Jameson's?
Okay.
When it becomes
after hours, and I can go in, or anybody can go into a club, in a place, and say, here's a bottle of whiskey. When I come in, I want to drink from this bottle of whiskey.
Right.
And I can come in here at any hour of the day or night and drink from this bottle of whiskey. That is a bottle club.
When
you have a bottle club like that, that's when the problems come. Because the only time these people are coming in is after 2 o'clock. All the other bars are closed. They've been wherever they want to go up until 2 o'clock. Now they're at the bottle club. And that's where the problem starts, because free-flowing alcohol and a whole bunch of people from different places winds up as a riot.
Well, I think we're getting a little.
It's proved itself everywhere in Florida.
Well, you see, you have the benefit of an experience that I have not had. And before I take my head to the point where we have riots in the street, and drunks falling all over one another. I just need to see something more than that. On the face of it, I'm not inclined to think that this is a good idea.
Well,
but I don't know
you,
that you can me, just that you
something.
Can just prohibit business because suppose you called it something other than bottle club. I mean, suppose you call it you know, the finest of the fine. I just don't know that this, on the face, it's just altogether the worst idea, the worst thing that could possibly happen. I just
why,
don't know.
Why not? Everywhere that they have been, there's a police report. We just showed you.
Yeah, homicides. They're on the same side of the yard.
Stabbings, shootings, all kinds of things. Every place they've been. Every place that we just had the report here. Just had it. You say you can't, you don't understand. They just showed you.
Every I read the letters. I reviewed the letters.
Not the
before.
Letters. I'm not talking about the letters.
I also saw the statistics from Volusia County.
Exactly.
But I, yep.
I That's think all we you
should,
need to see.
I think we should definitely at least postpone the rest of this discussion and direction until we get a firmed up definition.
I think so, because I'm not right where you are.
Chris, it's the time frame. I actually would like a consensus, and that's part of what we're working on. I mean, we hear you. We hear you clear on, you know, these legitimate clubs that are, you know, these places. We hear you. We're not trying to get rid of the cigar place.
Right.
That's not the intent of this. So. You know, us working with Katie in their office to come up with it, that's going to be part of the work that we still need to do. Right now, we need, you know, we got 120 days, less than that. We just want a direction to go, you know. So I would really hate postponing if we can get a consensus to move forward. I know your concern is the definition. But that's what we would have to work on to come forward.
A lot of this, my concerns lie in the use of words. When we say after hours, so I've heard you say 2 o'clock in the morning, right? After hours for me means 10 o'clock. You know, I'm in bed. So, how people define 10 o'clock, I mean, after hours, when I was maybe 20 or 30 or 40, that'd be altogether different to how I define after hours right now. I can't imagine why anybody would want to be out in the street drinking after 7 or 8 o'clock. I mean, it just doesn't make sense to me. Now.
You have planning board meetings that run late.
You may want to have a drink. but you're right.
Just kidding.
But I'm just not at a point, and forgive me, I'd like to just see more information.
Well, and it's funny, I'm just thinking of my grandmother. No good happens after midnight.
That's right. That's what it is. That's true.
I used to be out until the morning.
Well, of course.
Because I used to go to the jazz clubs in San Francisco and L.A. and New York, especially under the 59th Street Bridge. All the musicians used to go there. There were two or three clubs that used to go there in bright daylight, but nobody got shot.
Yeah, of course not.
Well, they didn't serve alcohol.
Well, they had alcohol, and they had more than
and
that too,
to
Ray.
Yeah,
but we were living in a different time when, you know, you had plenty of brawls in those places. And I grew up in a neighborhood, you know, not to cast aspersions on any one group of people, but I grew up in a neighborhood, you know, where there was a real Donnybrook after 12 o'clock, you know, regularly.
I didn't go on those
regularly.
do we want to push forward with?
Well, I think Bob wants to say something.
Well, yeah, I think I've been here listening to everybody, and I think the consensus that you're looking for, Ray, is that the board is inclined to go with strategy 4, which is outright prohibition of what, for lack of a more precise definition at this point, that we'll look to Katie and her crew to provide, Volusia County unincorporated area bottle clubs where people get shot at 4 in the morning or whatever, without prohibiting legitimate businesses.
And that's
easier to say. And being a lawyer, I know that's a heck of a lot easier to say than to do. I was going to ask Katie what the litigation track record, if any, of the state definition has been, if it's been challenged, or any of the city ordinances that we may be looking at as models have been. Because the
that's
I'm
a
not,
good question.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not anxious to buy ourselves a $200,000 legal bill like you get into trying to zone out adult businesses, for example. But,
so far as I know, Bob, it's been pretty successful in the cities that have prohibited bottle clubs have kept
Well, I can't imagine there's any constitutional right to drink at 3 in the morning from your own bottle. So, I mean, you know, I can understand there's differences. But
it's a low-income type business. In other words, you don't have to have much money up front to open
Well, that's, yeah. I mean, I don't want to analogize it to pornography, but, you know, the famous quote about I know it when I see it, I think I understand what we all think should be prohibited. But I'd like to see the language to see if we can figure out what we actually would be prohibiting and whether or not we're sweeping up some businesses that we shouldn't be discouraging.
I'd also like to see the language that Daytona Beach and Ormond Beach and Flagler Beach used.
That's a great idea.
Well, I'll go for Ormond. I don't know if I care much with Flagler. Sorry, I don't, not to disparage anybody's legal counsel.
I don't want to knock Flagler Beach, but
no,
wow.
I mean, I'm guessing we can call it a little higher power legal talent for our.
So is that good by?
It's good by me.
Okay, and I know it's good by Mr. Henderson. Chris, is that good by you? That approach? Is that a yes?
Yes.
Okay, so I know it's good by Jim. So I think you've got the consensus that you were looking for to pursue strategy 4, and we will. I guess wait to see what you come back with. Does it come back to us, or do you go directly to council?
I think what we'll end up doing is probably coming back to you.
Okay.
Yeah, and then we'll get your direction on the ordinance or a recommendation, and then we will proceed to a workshop for council.
Okay.
That would be a public hearing when it comes back to us?
To you, yes.
Because that's another thing that I would look to. I mean, if we've got somebody here in town that has a legitimate business that's afraid this is somehow putting the hurt to them, I want to make sure they have a chance to come in and explain why that's the case. And
yeah, and I tell you, that it's important to us and staff, and I know it's important to City Council, and we actually, with that in mind, Mr. Cuff, we actually went to a workshop last week with City Council just to update them on, you know, what we are doing, that we're going to the planning board on this date, and, you know, getting your consensus, because we really wanted to get that public involvement. I know that I did speak to a potential person who was wanting to open a bottle club, had called me directly, and I had told them about, we're going to have the moratorium at planning board at this date. You are welcome. It's open to the public, you know, the city council. So, yes, I definitely encourage everybody to participate in this public process.
We definitely don't want to see a sea of red shirts.
That's right.
People angry red shirters, like we just had that Portuguese American club. We want them exempted.
That was the friendliest looking gang I've ever seen, frankly.
I got nervous when I saw all those red shirts.
But I think it puts a lot of burden on you, Katie. But I don't see any advantage to trying to zone them out by putting them in industrial 2 out by the Sunbelt Chemical. Unless there's some constitutional reason to allow them in, like, the worst area of the city because you can't prohibit them.
I think it's
more important to come up with a good definition that prohibits what needs to be prohibited and allows what we have no reason to not allow. So.
Okay.
Okay. Understood. Yep. Thank you.
Your own bottle club.
Anything
your own
else? From the staff? That's it? Okay. Motion to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, everyone. Thank you.